You've got a handout there. I'm not going to go over every line item that's on there, okay? We're going to hit some things. We're not going to turn to all these passages of Scripture, but you got them there for your assistance. I am going to have you turn to the first place where we'll be in James chapter number 5. Now, we're looking tonight at particular laws of biblical illustration, which we've been dealing with for a number of weeks when we've been able to have a Wednesday night service with you. And part 6 tonight is the law of illustration. I like this law. You'll notice whenever I share this law with you and the details of it that I use it all the time. You'll notice also that Brother Sam, in his recent messages, uses it as well. Okay, and here's the law stated. For most important biblical truths, God gives at least one classic illustration in His Word in order to bring that truth home to the heart and mind of man. In other words, God's Word undergirds its teachings with illustrations. God reinforces His truth through the biblical account. And that's why when I preach and teach, my favorite method of illustrating my messages is using the Word of God itself. And I know that there's preachers out there that use illustration books. You used to have one illustration book that's that thick, hard to use, you know, and I'm good for them if they can use that. But you know what? The Bible is its best illustrator, I found. And other than that, I'll use something that I personally know, you know, a lot of times. And every now and then, I'll use a good illustration that I found along the way. But most of the illustration that you will hear me do is from the Word of God itself. And there's a reason for that, because the Word of God is its best illustrator. And the Bible provides illustrations of all kinds of Christian virtues. I give you some examples here. And the example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Those are two separate things, but they're given right in the same area of Scripture. Look at James 5, verse 10 and 11. And James, the half-brother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as he wrote this, he's encouraging those that read his letter. He says, "Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience." Well, if you go back and you study the different prophets, both Old Testament and New Testament, you'll see that it is a great source of seeing the suffering, affliction, and patience that they had in their life. Also, verse number 11, he said, "Behold, we count them happy which endure," talking about enduring affliction, enduring those things with patience. He says, "You've heard of the patience of Job." There's a whole book that illustrates the patience of Job. "You've seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and full of tender mercy." And so the Bible is a great illustrator of itself. Thus, Sunday morning, I used Hebrews 11, examples of biblical faith. Now, we didn't get into all the examples. You know, I did mention them bypass, but we're preaching on faith, and the Bible gives the accounts of the patriarchs and shows them to be examples of biblical faith. In fact, it points back to different ones of their faith, such as Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham. And, you know, they're pointed out. And when you go to the Old Testament, you can learn some things. So you learn things there where they're spoken of in other places of Scripture. And it behooves us to take and use the things that are pointed out to us to study the Word of God and gain a greater understanding. And it's one of my favorite things to do. I love studying individuals. When I first came here, those of you that were in the Sunday school, I did a whole series on individuals in the Bible from different places, out of different books. I did the apostles, and it was a great thing that we were able to take a look and understand the Word of God better through those things that are given to us there. And that's why they're there for. They're there to give us a better understanding of the Word. Boy, we sure need boldness in our day, don't we? Well, there's great examples of boldness. The Bible gives the account of Elijah in 1 Kings 17 and 18. Now, he was greatly bold there. After Jezebel got on his case, he kind of fled, backed up on some of that, but he was an example of boldness in chapter 17 and 18. The Bible also gives the account of the three Hebrew children. You remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego there in Daniel chapter number 3, how that King Nebuchadnezzar was going to make them bow down to the image that he had made. And he said, you don't do that. Whenever you hear the music going on, when you hear that music, I don't see you bow down. If you're caught not bowing down, you're going to be going into the oven. Well, we know the end of that story, don't we? There was four people that were in there. That fourth one was like the Son of God. And they didn't, when they came out, they didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. No sin. They weren't singed or anything. Well, they were bold. They were saying, you know, we're not afraid to give you an answer, O King. We're not afraid at all. They answered and said, if God chooses to deliver us, that's fine and dandy. But if not, understand, we're not bound down to the image. Now, paraphrase there of the scripture. But you can read about it there in Daniel 3, verses 8 through 18. Bible gives the account of Daniel. Daniel chapter number 6, and verses 10 through 23 there. It's Daniel, those folks in the government there that were working in the government with him got jealous of him because of his preferred position, and they were trying to bring him down. One way they could find to bring him down, the only way they could find, he was a guy of character, and they don't you wish we had people of character today that were like Daniel? The only thing you could find to try to bring them down in was a way they served God. Well, that's the way Daniel was. Daniel was a man of prayer. He believed in prayer. In fact, one of the great prayers, you might want to write this down beside there. Daniel 6 gives the account there of his. He would pray, and just like he always did, he believed in prayer, and that's what wound up getting him thrown into the lion's den. But the Lord delivered him out of that lion's den. He wasn't afraid to be bold, and I mean, he didn't go hide his prayers. He opened his windows up, let everybody see what he's doing. I don't think he was trying to put on a show, but he was not afraid to pray as he had done before, is what the scripture will tell you that. He was accustomed to doing such a thing. Now, we know the end of that. Then if you look at Daniel chapter number 9, Daniel 9 is a great prayer. Daniel, after looking at the Old Testament scriptures, came across the prophet Jeremiah, came across how the Lord had said certain things of when they were going to be delivered, and he read that and recognized that they were at that time, and he prayed to the Lord, and it's a great prayer. It's a great prayer, Daniel chapter 9. Let me encourage you to go there and read that. But example of boldness. He was bold in his dealings, and he was bold in his prayer. Okay. And then the Bible gives the account of the apostles. We'll take time to turn to this one. Look at Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. And we'll look at Acts chapter number 9 too as well. Of course, Acts chapter number 4, I think we're familiar with the story. There in, look at verse number 13, Acts 4:13. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now this is the council that is taking knowledge of that. Verse 14, and beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But I like verse 19, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. In other words, you judge that. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all the men glorified God for all that was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by thy mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants, here it is, that with all boldness they may speak thy word, and by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Great example of boldness there in the apostles. Then there's also an account there, give an account of Paul in Acts chapter number 9. Look at Acts 9, just a few verses here, verse 26 through 29. Acts 9, verse 26. It says, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Think about that. Yeah, he wasn't called Paul yet at this point. All they knew is, hey, this guy one time used to lock us up, you know, our type up, used to see that our type got killed, persecuted. But look at verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. What struck Barnabas was Saul's boldness in preaching Jesus. Verse 28, and he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against Grecians. They went about to slay him. So, just some examples there. The Bible also gives account of Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 13. We're in that area. Let's flip over there. And this is another good one. Acts 13, verse number 44. Acts 13, verse 44. It says here, "And the next Sabbath day, they came together, came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God." Talking about the word of God being put forth by Paul and Barnabas. "But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, and contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold," there's the boldness, "and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region, but the Jews stirred up devout and honorable women and chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas." So they quit, right? No, they didn't quit. They kicked them out of their coast, said expelled them out of their coast, but they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. There's some bold characters there. And we won't take a look at the example of Joseph, because Brother Sam covered that real good there. And when you take a look at moral purity, the Bible gives the story of Joseph in Genesis 39, verses 7 through 18. Then there's the example of prayer. There's the example of Elijah that's giving in James chapter number 5, where we read a while ago. Let me read that to you real quick, because it's just two quick verses. James 5, verse 17 and 18 says, "Elias," or Elijah, "was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." What was he pointing out here, what he had said earlier? That the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's what he was pointing out. Then, of course, the example of prayer, again, was Daniel. And not only Daniel 6, but Daniel 9. The Bible provides illustrations of Christian failures. An example of backsliding, of course, the Bible gives the account of Lot. As Lot separated from Abraham, he pitched his tent toward Sodom, and before you know it, he's there sitting in the gate of Sodom. His family lost respect for him. Didn't have much godliness to him at all. I mean, when his two daughters got him drunk after he left the city and had relations with him, and wound up having children there by their own father, it shows you where backsliding will take you. Example of discouragement. We talked about the boldness of Elijah a while ago. Well, 1 Kings 19, the Bible gives the account of Elijah under the juniper tree, having a pity party. What was his problem? He was discouraged. He was depressed. And the Lord gave him what he needed. He needed to eat some, he needed to rest some, and then he needed to be encouraged to get up, that God wasn't through with him yet. And that's exactly what the angel did for him. And you'll read about that in 1 Kings 19. Example of self-will. We know the story of Moses striking the rock. Of course, the Lord had him strike the rock the first time to bring forth water, but he told him to speak to the rock the second time, and he got mad with the people, and he struck the rock, and self-will kept him out of the promised land. He wasn't able to go over to carry the folks into Promised Land. Joshua got that honor. Then example of disobedience. The Bible gives the account of Jonah. We know Jonah was told very explicitly, go and preach to Nineveh and tell them in 40 days I'm going to judge them. And he didn't do it. He wanted to do it. And the reason he didn't want to do it, because he didn't like the Assyrians. He didn't like them. They were evil people. They were horrible against the Israelites. And he said, you know, I just want to see them burn. If you're going to judge them, Lord, let's go ahead and judge them. And that was his attitude. And so his attitude left him to disobey the Lord. He decided he'd hop ship and go to a different place. And it didn't work out well for him. But you can read all about that in Jonah 1. The Bible also provides illustrations of God's hatred of sin. A careful study of the Bible reveals that most of the sins listed in the Bible are shown in the lives of some people, which illustrate and demonstrate God's hatred of sin. You take the sin of idolatry and worshiping strange gods. The best place to go is to the Exodus 32, and that's where they talked Aaron into taking and molding a golden calf, and they were dancing and worshiping that golden calf, and God was not pleased with that. And I'll let you read about that. The sin of profaning the things of God. In Daniel chapter 5, we read about Belshazzar, who's the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. And he decided he was going to have a feast. And I think he'd already been drinking a little while. He would decide, well, let's bring those things that came out of the temple. Let's bring those out here and let's drink to our God. Let's drink wine out of that stuff. And they began to have a good party. And he wound up losing the kingdom. But because he profaned the things of God that had been sanctified. They were holy. They weren't to be used for that. The sin of dishonoring parents. Good examples. Absalom, David's son. You read about it in 2 Samuel 15 and 18. Sin of murder. The very first murder. The Bible gives the example of Cain there in Genesis chapter 4. It didn't take a gun, did it? But he killed him. And the sin of adultery. The Bible gives the example of David. Even though David is the man after God's own heart, it doesn't cover up his sin. It exposes it. 2 Samuel 12, you can read about it. Sin of stealing. The Bible gives the example of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was interested in finding out who this Jesus fellow was in Luke 19. And climbed up the sycamore tree. And when he came to know Jesus, we see that he exposed how he had robbed folks. He'd stolen, and he was going to return unto them what he had stolen. And then the sin of lying, a good example of that. The Bible gives the example of Ananias and Sapphira, who lied to the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter number 5. Then the sin of covetousness. The Bible gives the example of Achan in Joshua 7. They were told not to take of the accursed thing, but Achan, I guess he thought he could get by with it. But God sees it all, doesn't he? And he wound up hurting Israel. There were folks that lost their lives at the Battle of Ai because of Achan. There were his family members wound up losing their lives because of husband and what the husband and father had done. And so it shows us that sin of covetousness, where it will take you. Sin of homosexuality. The Bible gives the example of Sodom and Gomorrah there in Genesis 19. Sin of drunkenness. The Bible gives the example of Noah in Genesis 9. sin of deceitfulness. The Bible gives the example of Jacob in Genesis 27. As he tried to make out to his dad that he was Esau rather than being Jacob. Sin of rebellion. The Bible gives the example of Saul in 1 Samuel 15. And so, you know, all of these things, let me encourage you to look those up and study those. You'll see what I'm talking about there. And this is just a drop in the bucket, okay? This is just to show you how you can find these things in the Word of God. And demonstrating His hatred of sin, God usually gives one decisive illustration of His judgment. And if the Lord visited with every sin with such judgments, there wouldn't be anybody on earth. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But He gives it the illustration, and then but most of the judgment He forbears till judgment day. And I'm glad that mine is under the blood, aren't you? I'm glad that Jesus took my judgment, and praise God for that. But the Bible is replete with illustrations. In fact, one last place I'm going to have you turn to, 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, and there are some examples given right here that you can, if you got a center reference Bible, it gives you the places to look up in the Old Testament. The verse that I want to point out is 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 11. Now all these things happen unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. And what he's talking about is the things that happened to Israel in the wilderness. Look at verse 6. Now these things were for our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Well, that makes sense, right? Lusting after things is not good. Well, there's a story about it in Numbers 11, verse 4 and 6. Neither be ye idolaters as some of them. As it was written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And, of course, we know that 30,000 were slain with the sword. And there was a plague upon the folks there at the same time. They let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day, 23,000. 23,000 dead because of committing fornication. They let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. And that points one to the time when they were in Numbers chapter number 14, when all of those that were 20 years old and older, their carcasses dropped in the wilderness. Amen. All right, that's our Bible study for this evening. We'll pull back on our prayer list. We'll pray for the needs that we mentioned before, and we'll be dismissed with this prayer.